And we're joined now by Mike Trombetta here on HRRN. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Let's start by looking back on that performance in the Pasco. It was one of those wow performances, at least for us it was. Boy, what an effort.
Yeah, no, he showed up in a big way that day, and it made for a pretty nice afternoon.
Yeah, those are the afternoons you like to have every Saturday afternoon, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, good effort. Now he'll stretch out. That was 7 furlongs. This will be his first time going a distance of ground and going around 2 turns. What are you seeing from him since that Pasco that gives you the confidence that he'll handle the assignment?
Well, you know, he's training well, and we've worked him numerous times, and we've given him a nice stretch of time into this race. And, you know, he's trained the way that you would like to see a horse train, and he's doing it on the track he has to run on, which is a luxury that soon goes away, you know, because you're all over the place. But, you know, he's done what he's supposed to.
Yeah, his works since his last race have been sparkling, and it's got to give you a lot of confidence to have Sunday Silence on the top and Smarty Jones on the bottom. That's a pedigree that a lot of horses would love to have.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that classic type pedigree, you know, horses that can do the mile and a quarter and stuff. So, you know, they all have to find their way and go on to the next stage as far as distance goes. But, you know, I'm feeling fairly confident that he should get along with it just fine.
Yeah, as a trainer, Mike, do you ever really know if they can be as brilliant when they stretch out for the first time as they were sprinting until they actually do it? Or can you have some confidence and say, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to handle it okay?
Well, you know, that's kind of the thing, you know. I mean, you can have that confidence, but you can't rest until you know that they truly can. And until you see it put to use in the afternoon with the competitive field of horses, you know, that's the one test that you can't simulate in the mornings.
You've been a trainer a long time. When was the last time you rested?
Myself?
Yeah.
we never rest, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I know. That I love that comment. You never rest. That you could end there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the life of a horse trainer, and Mike Trombetta has done it for a long time, and he's done it at a very high level. Mike, a different jockey today. Julian Pimentel, not aboard. You switched to Irad Ortiz Jr. Talk about that decision.
Well, you know, that was just a decision that came about, you know, with the with our connections. And, you know, Julian has done an excellent job for us across the board on everything that he's ever done. But, you know, in this scenario, you know, I don't have to speak for IRAD's success. So, you know, that's where we landed for this weekend.
When Mark Cassie joins us on this program, he always raves about Live Oak Plantation and Charlotte Weber and training for that outfit. How about you? Your thoughts on training for them and them being part of your overall team?
Well, you know, I've had the good fortune of working for a lot of great clients over the years. But, you know, this is yet another one of those special relationships. I mean, the horses always come first, and they give you, you know, some really nice stuff to work with. And, you know, the horses are paramount in their organization. I mean, and whatever they need, they get. And you can't ask for anything more.
One of the things I love about your horse is his speed figures continue to improve. And then you see those two bullet works at Tampa. Has he made another move forward since you ran him last time?
Well, you know, we don't know. But, I mean, I took the, you know, I looked at the overall schedule, and I decided that it would be in his best interest, you know, to skip over the Sam Davis to give him this little bit of an extra time now. Because, you know, to put all three of those races together would be a big ask of any horse. And, you know, I had to let him train on a little bit, you know, during this time. And he's been very willing and happy to do it.
Mike, I know, obviously, going down this road to the Kentucky Derby, you've been there before. You've gotten there with Sweet Northern Saint. And you have to kind of plot things out, and you hope that you don't have a straw in your path. So if all goes well today with win, 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 looking ahead to the next steps, what would be the likely next spot we would see him before he gets to Louisville?
Well, nothing's planned, you know, as far as being definite. But assuming that he does well, you know, from a timing standpoint, you know, the two logical races would either be at Keeneland or New York in a month's time. So, you know, they're the ones that would make the most sense at a quick glance. But there are other options as well. But we'll see how he does and, you know, how he comes out of the race and then plan from there.
Yeah, one step at a time. Talking with trainer Mike Trombetta here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, I'm going to give you a long overdue apology. Sweet Northern Saint went off as the 5-1 favorite in that 2007 Kentucky Derby. He ended up finishing, what, seventh that day behind Barbaro and Edgar Prado. My apology is this. I bet on Sweet Northern Saint, so I'm sorry I ruined all chance the minute I went to the window. I know you worked so hard to get him there, and I owe you this apology. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay, but you know how that goes. Being the favorite, that's one race you don't want to be the favorite in.
What do you remember about that day and everything that went into it when you got to the Kentucky Derby?
Well, you know, it's just the whole experience is just something special. And, you know, that particular horse, he had obscure pedigree. And, you know, he came on the scene and, you know, he went from, you know, nobody knowing who he was to everybody knowing who he was in a very short period of time. And it takes you by surprise. And, you know, that's just the nature of it. And, you know, that the season comes about pretty quickly.
A lot of trainers talk about the experience and how much of a learning experience it is. What did you learn from that Derby that you think you could apply to this Derby?
Well, it's just like anything else. If you have a shot to do it, you know, you kind of, you know, you get to experience the whole feel for how it goes. And, you know, you go from nobody really paying any attention to you at all to everybody in the world looking at every little step that you do. And, you know, you got to keep your eye on the prize and do what you know is right for your horse. And, you know, just try to get there and in the best possible condition that you can have him in.
Mike, I remember Sweet Northern Saint got off to a rough beginning that day. He was 12th early. He made that big run and turning into the stretch, he was sitting in fourth and it looked like, okay, here we go. He's going to show that same brilliance that he showed in the Illinois Derby. He's going to draw off in this field. That feeling of turning for home with a shot in the Kentucky Derby, what's that like?
Well, you know, to be a contender in that, it was a great feeling. And then, you know, we had the same feeling in the Preakness. I mean, there was a short period of time in the Preakness that it looked like he could actually win the race turning for home. And Bernardini came on the scene in a big way, and there wasn't a whole lot that could stop him after that. So, you know, but there was, you know, a lot of excitement about both of the races for us. And, you know, we hope to share in that again.
Well, Mike, I'll let you go here in just a minute, but I told you yesterday when I called you to ask you to join us here on the program that Jude and I were so high on Win, Win, Win. We drafted him as our number one selection in our Churchill Downs Fantasy League that we do with some of the other media members around the country. So I'll ask you this final question. More pressure trying to get to the Kentucky Derby with this horse or trying to live up to the hype of being our number one pick?
I would say a little bit more with the horse.
Yeah. Well, we did pretty good last year, so you don't have to worry about us not doing well. We did all right. Almost won the whole thing.
Vino Rosso. Rosso was our top pick last year. McCracken before that. They turned out to be pretty good. So, Mike, you're in good company, and we wish you all the best with Win, Win, Win today and in the months to come. And hopefully we'll be talking to you at Churchill Downs in a couple of months.
Well, we hope to do our part to keep you on a roll, so thank you very much.
He's as good as it gets. Mike Trombetta here on HRN.